In the next couple of years, the Alaskan Way Viaduct will be torn down, and the Seattle waterfront will open up in a new way. Gone will be the elevated highway that separates Pike Place Market from the Ferris Wheel and the aquarium. In its place, a new large waterfront park. And who ought to pay for that park? Property owners who live around it, or all the people who will be benefiting from the new public space? It's a question KUOW's Region of Boom reporter Carolyn Adolph has been asking. Welcome, Carolyn.
Hey.
How is the city planning to pay for the new waterfront park?
Well, they have to somehow stomach $688 million. That's the slice that's for this park. And it's being paid through. I mean, they want to find $100 million worth of philanthropy. They're going to get some money from the state. But there's a $200 million wedge of that $688 million. That is labeled the Waterfront LID, the Local Improvement District, a special tax for property owners.
Yes, this is not a lid over anything. This is a local improvement district, the waterfront lid.
Right.
Which means people who live nearby or do business nearby would be paying some of that money.
Oh, yeah. And the lion's share of it is definitely going to fall on the commercial landowners. You know, the Sheraton Hotel seems to be on the hook for $4 million. Amazon's a bit less than $1 million. So, you know, parking lots are going to pay. Everything. The ferry terminal is going to pay. But so will people who have been living downtown for a year or since forever.
Okay, that's the proposal anyway. And we have in the studio two people who live in this local improvement district. So they live in the downtown area. I would have to pay this property tax. Karen Gillen is a former Boeing employee, retired. She moved with her husband from their home in Queen Anne to downtown Seattle. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Also, former Seattle Mayor Charlie Royer, he co-chaired the committee that designed and figured out funding for the waterfront park. And he lives in that area, too. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. So first of all, Karen, the Seattle waterfront tax would cost you $22,000. You live near the shiny new waterfront. How is that unfair to you?
Well, for one thing, where I live, there's very little difference between the before and after of the lid itself. Because
how do you mean?
Well, there's going to be a multi-lane highway. There's going to be the existing new sidewalks that have the glass blocks to let light in for the salmon. And the street has to be repaired to the normal standards of a Seattle street. So there'll be street vegetation and trees, et cetera. The city cannot provide a picture of what the street is going to look like after the viaduct comes down and if we never had the LID. Because it doesn't seem to me that there's any difference. So
Are you saying you don't believe or you're not so sure your property value is going to go up because of the waterfront?
Actually, that's a whole other issue. But that's a possibility. I don't look at the viaduct. I don't live right next to it. So it's hard.
You don't have a waterfront facing condo.
No.
Okay.
So okay, you're not going to get a killer view, and you're saying that you don't really think that the waterfront park is going to really change the look of what you're going to see on the street side?
Not in my particular place.
Oh.
But if you look at the website from the city, everything says that this is a regional asset. This is a gateway to Seattle. This is for everybody that visits or lives in Seattle. And interestingly enough, in 2014, we all, property owners and others, passed a new park district to cover recreation, including maintaining parklands and facilities, operating community centers, recreation programs, and developing new neighborhood parks on previously acquired sites. It doesn't say except downtown Seattle.
Mm. Okay.
So we're paying for all of the new parks and refurbished parks and upgrade parks in the city, but we're asked to pay for the one that might be right next to us.
Former Seattle Mayor Charlie Royer, you will be paying $19,000, and you think this is fair that people who live in the downtown area should pay this one-time property tax. Why? What do you say to her objections?
Well, first of all, I think you have to recognize that this is a big project that is paid for by a lot of taxpayers. It's almost a $4 billion $5 billion project that is being paid for by the state, the federal government, the port. I mean, every government is stepping up. And the biggest cost of this thing is the transportation piece, a $3 billion tunnel and road paid for by the state and the federal government. So without that transportation investment, made by people who buy gas, people who pay taxes throughout the state, we would not be building the park.
Okay, but what has that got to do with whether you should be taxed?
Well, the decision that the committee made that was appointed by a mayor from long ago, Greg Nichols, I was asked to chair the committee, and I said, I need somebody who can raise a bunch of money to help me. And so Maggie Walker became the co-chair later, and we established a citizens committee. One of the things we were asked to do is to find a designer for the park. We did that. Our park. You don't want the cities or the state of Washington DOT designing your streets or your parks in an urban area. You want a good designer doing that. This is not a wheat field in eastern Washington where you put a highway through it.
But how do you know her property values are going to go up and that she ought to pay for that?
So I was going to say that I am happy to pay a very small assessment. I'm paying something like $70, $80 a month. She's paying about $90. We both live in fairly decent condos, which we can afford to pay. It's a very small part.
Okay.
It's like 0.25% of the increased value that occurs only because of the big investment that's happening.
There you go.
Right.
So, Karen, the idea is you want to get this benefit later and not have to pay for it now.
Well, actually, you know as well as I do that property values rise and fall based on the amount available for people wanting to invest. And our current housing market in the city has driven prices up. Since I moved downtown Seattle 5 years ago, my property taxes have gone up 75%. Now, I'm retired. I don't have any additional source of new income to pay for this. So I'm forced with every time things grow, whether it be property taxes or an assessment like this, I have to consider, can I afford to stay in my home through my retirement? When I moved downtown, I didn't move up to a fancier place. I sold a large home and bought a smaller home with the idea that I would expect some growth in my costs.
Charlie Royer, she can't pass on the charge to the tourists.
It's a small, almost $2 million condo looking out over the water. So it's not a retiree's home, if you might.
But she's saying she and others who are on fixed incomes keep seeing their taxes rise and can't
take a look at the opposition to this. First of all, it surfaced early among the condo owners. From the time I started working on this project, I kept hearing over and over from people, this is only going to benefit the tourists, which is a big job producer in our city and region, and it's only going to benefit the rich condo owners. So it became not only important as part of the fairness of this funding, this huge transformational investment in our city, but it became important to spread the cost among those who benefit most, really do benefit. And those are the condo owners. I mean, my condo is went up, $300,000 just in anticipation of the waterfront. Businesses along the waterfront are selling these old buildings in Pioneer Square that are warehouse kind of buildings. They're selling for $8, $12, $15 million now.
And Karen, you can finance it. You don't have to pay it all at once.
Well, one of the issues, the $22,000 I talked about, that's the 100% of my special benefit, not the half the city says that it will take. Because if they cannot raise the other monies that they've asked for, or if a project overruns, they have the right for 10 years to take 100% of the special benefit. And they don't have the ability to commit a future city council not to take it if they need it. So that's where I differ. I do not have the kind of house that Mayor Royer spoke about. But, one of the things I need to really bring to people's attention is that not everybody who lives downtown is wealthy. A lot of people are renting. There's new apartments going in. Some of those may be rent-enabled or something. But most of them that are market rate are going to be affected eventually by this. I've been speaking to a lot of businesses down on the street, and they're basically already encumbered by raising rents. They're barely making it. They're
businesses
struggling.
Businesses pass the taxes on, to the people who buy their goods.
And these businesses are not
tourists.
Just supporting. No, see, that's part of the problem. It is not just tourists.
You're telling me that in Pioneer Square, all those retail stores don't benefit from
tourism? Well, I tell you, in my neighborhood, we have a lot of stores that do not benefit
from tourists. In your neighborhood, you've got big furniture stores that sell.
Right. And there's lots of stores all through the area that we're talking about. And they are going to be leaving that area. What started out as a neighborhood where people could afford to buy a home and live is going to turn into a tourist playground. Is that what we really want for the center of our city? Is only people that can, and foreign investors that can afford to buy the condos that are priced out of existence? And
well, those are two different things. Yeah. So not tourists, but you're saying that the only people living in downtown Seattle will be foreign investors?
I'm saying virtually, that if we keep pricing normal people out of the neighborhood.
Well, I don't know if you remember this city when I moved here back in 1970.
Actually, I've lived here longer than that. But.
And then you maybe remember 1970. Mm-hmm. Nobody lived downtown. Mm-hmm. Downtown was a desert at night. We had a decent retail core, one of the few big cities that did, and we did everything we could to protect that. One of the things you have to do is build a neighborhood downtown, 24/7, white picket fence neighborhoods where people take care of the street and it's safe and well-lit and all that stuff. That's what we are now. We have density downtown. People are struggling to live downtown, but they can't afford it. So you're right. We have loaded up property tax. The state has done that, put the whole school burden almost on the King County and City of Seattle. So And our city council never met a tax it didn't like,
right,
ever. And so now they want $75 million to try to spend on the homeless without a plan to spend it on wisely. So I can understand people who say these taxes are out of line, but I do not understand. Look at the opposition to this LID. The big guys are going to pay the bulk of it. There is no opposition coming from the Downtown Seattle Association, the Seattle Chamber, the big property owners, the big hotels. So it's only a few condo owners, particularly living on the waterfront.
Yeah.
And if you look at the polling the Friends of Waterfront Seattle have done over the past few months, 70-80% love this waterfront, and they want to see it happen, and they believe it's a waterfront for all, and all should help pay for it.
Okay. Karen, what do you think gets lost if people of ordinary means end up being taxed out of downtown?
Well, I know that there are a lot of retirees maybe bought their condo 25 years ago and helped make downtown Seattle a vibrant community that people want to come and visit. It's almost like it's the nail in the coffin of their being able to continue living downtown. These are people that might have a studio or a one-bedroom condo that they bought at rates that you wouldn't even imagine you could buy a condo for. And so if we price those people out, we change the demographic of the area. If only very, very rich people or people that have high-paying jobs can stay, what about the couple who wrote a letter to the city council saying basically they're a dual income family. They have a little boy. They bought their condo in Pioneer Square years ago.
There were no condos in Pioneer Square years ago. It was all subsidized housing.
How many years ago? Their years ago would be
25,
maybe
30 years ago.
Yeah, didn't they call the condo buyers the gentrifiers?
We're not talking about 25. Maybe it was 8
years
ago.
Well, you said 25 years
ago. No, I said years ago.
Okay, we're going to put a pause on this because we've got another fantastic segment coming up. But this is to give you a flavor of the fact that the city is considering this this property tax one time, or can be financed, this local improvement district to pay for what the city says is going to be a property value boon. And Carolyn, what happens next?
Well, this is certainly not set in stone. The city's taking up the issue tomorrow, and eventually they'll come to a vote on whether or not to impose this local improvement district and what kind of changes they might want to make. So without the lid or with an altered lid, then we get into a whole bunch of questions of, well, where does the money come from, and does this alter the waterfront project in any way?
Karen Gillan, Charlie Royer, thank you both. Let's do this again. We'll be following the progress of this idea. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It's The Record on KUOW. When you have lost a loved one, what have people said to you or done for you that's helped or has been very, very unhelpful? We want to do better. Stay tuned.